Thank you. day it is to gather in the Lord's house. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship our Savior this morning. Good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful day. It is good to gather as we celebrate Father's Day, and on this day as we honor the men in our lives who have helped shape and mold us, may we remember our Heavenly Father who created us this day. If you are a first-time guest with us, thank you for joining us for worship this morning. You can fill out a visitor's card and drop it in the offering plate as we leave following the worship service today. For those that are joining us this morning online on Facebook Live, thank you for joining us this morning. We look forward to having you worship with us virtually. You can also go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin and use that as a resource for our worship today. If this is your first time worshiping with us online, send me an email. Send it to me on Monday this week, and I will get back in touch with you and let you know what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. Again, we are excited that you've decided to join us. It's good to see family here worshiping together on this special day of worship. And this day is also special because this evening we get kicked off with our Vacation Bible School. Once again, we're partnering with Elon Community Church right down the road here. And this Sunday, tonight, we get kicked off with our family night. Vacation Bible School will run Sunday tonight through Wednesday night, 5:30 to 8 p.m. Tonight is our family night, where we encourage everyone to come and celebrate and go through the night together as family. We want to encourage you to invite your children, your grandchildren, and everybody that you know. It'll be a lot of fun tonight at 5:30 as we get kicked off. It is being hosted at Elon Community Church. It will be a night of fun. So come out tonight for Vacation Bible School. Looking ahead to this week, some things going on in the life of our church. Praise team number 3 will be practicing Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Thursday, we have our Thursday book chat at Barnes & Noble this week. That'll be Thursday at 11 a.m. Now, we'll let you know, and the reason why I said if they're watching online and send me an email on Monday is because I'm leaving on Tuesday to go on vacation. Now, it doesn't mean I won't check my email while I'm gone. I always do. But I will be leaving on vacation on Tuesday and will be gone for a week. So next Sunday, I will not be here. I will miss you. I promise that. But I will not be here physically. And in my place, Reverend Jonathan Collins will be here to fill in the pulpit for me. And we look forward to having Jonathan back with us again. So come out next Sunday, and he will be leading, preaching from the pulpit in my absence. As we talk about things coming up in the life and what's in your bulletin going on right now, again, reiterating two of our mission collections that we have going on. We are collecting snack items and drink items for Camp Green Leaves. Liz, do you get started this week? It starts tomorrow, so pray for Camp Green Leaves. It will be a hot day out at camp tomorrow, but it's always a lot of fun. Pray for Liz and all the counselors out there and the campers, but we are helping them out by collecting snack and drink items. Thank you for those who've already brought items. You can continue to bring items through the month of June and into early July. Also, we're collecting donations for the Cambodia Village Outreach. This is a project being sponsored by the Mount Zion Baptist Association, collecting donations for water filters for this project. It's $40 for each water filter. So if somebody wants to donate $40, that'll be purchasing one single water filter. The goal overall for this entire project is to try to purchase 500 water filters for that project. You've heard me talk about the July 4th coming up fellowship, our hot dog supper, and our ice cream fellowship coming up in just a couple weeks. I hope you marked your calendar. It'll be a fun night. And part of that fun night will be the raffle for the Kingsdale mattress that's been donated to the church. This is all a fundraiser for our roof fund. You can purchase those raffle tickets all the way up to July 14th that evening. If you want to purchase tickets today following worship, Paula Harrison will be out in the foyer area following worship today to sell those raffle tickets off. So it will be a lot of fun. And as a part of that, you've noticed in your Sunday school classes today, the family team, the team that's putting all the food and helping out with this together, is asking for your help by bringing ice cream to this ice cream fellowship. If you make homemade ice cream, we're encouraging you to sign up on those sheets. If you just want to bring regular ice cream, sign up on those sheets. But the more ice cream, the better. Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard someone say there's too much ice cream. That's never been said before. So there's always room for more ice cream. So if you will, sign up and bring items, ice cream for the July 14th fellowship. The other sign up that's going on right now is the Fun and Fellowship trip for the month of July. The Fun and Fellowship group will be going to the Farmers Market in Greensboro and the Moose Cafe on Friday, July 12th. That's right, it's in Greensboro, yes. Right? So in Greensboro, July 12th, if you want to go on that trip, you can sign up in the foyer or sign up in the Sunday School classrooms as well. Lots of other things going on. Check your June newsletter out. July newsletter out will be coming out in just a week or so. But again, lots of ministry opportunities going on here at First Baptist Elon. We gather here as family. We gather here to praise our Heavenly Father this morning. Let us stand and worship this day.
Our first hymn this morning is Faith of Our Fathers. Let's stand and sing.
Our opening scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 92, reading verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 15. Listen to these words. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. As we gather here this day, as we sing praise to our God, may we remember it is always good to praise the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Oh God, Heavenly Father that you are, come into our midst in our worship this day. Oh God, from you we understand perfect fatherhood. Oh God, you are the good Father. Oh God, you are the true Father. Oh God, you are our Father. Oh God, Heavenly Father that you are, may our worship be a love offering to you this day. Oh God, be with us now and always. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is, Would You Bless Our Homes and Families? Let's stand.
Thank you.
seated.
As we celebrate parenthood on this special Sunday, we as a congregation want to celebrate with two new parents in our midst. Daniel and Maria Kobel will be welcoming a new daughter into their home in just a few weeks. Is that a little scary? This will be a wonderful celebration, and we want to support them in this celebration by holding a baby shower for them next Sunday morning, June 23rd at 9 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. There'll be light refreshments for everyone and a chance to celebrate with Daniel and Maria. So if you look in your bulletin this morning, you will see the website where Daniel and Maria are registered. If you go to that website and just click on one of the items that they've registered, it will tell you which of our local stores carry it. Target, Walmart, even Amazon. It'll tell you where it carries. It'll also tell you which is where you can find the price the cheapest, which is the best part about it. This is a great thing. So I encourage you to go to the website, purchase a gift for them, and come out next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. upstairs in the Fellowship Hall. Everyone is invited to come and celebrate with Daniel and Maria. Now, as we transition now to the recognition of fathers, this morning we celebrate the men in our lives who have helped shape and mold us into the individuals that we are today. Father's Day was first celebrated in the United States in Spokane, Washington, in 1910 by a lady named Sonora Smart Dodd. She and her five siblings were raised by her single father, and she wanted to honor her father similar to how mothers were being honored each year. It was not until 1972 that Father's Day became a national holiday. Yet the roots all began because of the impact that this father had on her daughter, on his daughter. Today, we recognize and honor all men, fathers, grandfathers, stepfathers, uncles, cousins, neighbors, teachers, coaches, and the list goes on and on and on for investing time and making a difference in the lives of others. Having that impact on others that God has placed in your lives for a specific purpose. As part of honoring all the men that gather here this day, would you join me in the responsive reading that will be displayed on the worship screens behind me? I'll read the leader part, and if you would read the all part that follows. For fathers everywhere who have given us life and love, that we may show them respect and love.
Holy God, hear this prayer for our fathers.
For fathers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope, and their family and friends support and console them.
Holy God, hear this prayer for our fathers that mourn.
For men who may or may not have children of their own, but act like a father to someone in need of advice, support, nurturing, and love.
Holy God, hear this prayer for our father figures.
For stepfathers who have assumed that role with love and joy, who have loved the children of another as their own and created a new family.
Holy God, hear this prayer for stepfathers.
For adoptive fathers who have heard the call of God to lovingly step forward for those that need their care.
Holy God, hear this prayer for adopted fathers.
For fathers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to the needs of their children, and have not sustained their families.
Holy God, have mercy on absentee fathers.
For fathers who struggle with temptation, violence, or addiction, for those who do harm, and for those whom they have harmed.
Holy God, have mercy on fathers that struggle.
For new fathers, full of hope. For longtime fathers, full of wisdom. For the fathers yet to be, and fathers soon to be.
Holy God, hear our prayer for the fathers of the church.
For those that have shaped our lives without claim of family or kinship, for those who have taught us, guided us, shaped us, and molded us into servants of Christ our Lord.
Holy God, hear our prayer for the fathers of our faith.
God, our Father, in your wisdom and love you made all things. Bless these men that they may be strengthened as Christian fathers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time, would all men, fathers, grandfathers, stepfathers, uncles, please stand to be recognized at this time. All the men, please stand up. Let's have a round of applause for these men this morning. Let me first say thank you for your generous gift of investment into the lives of others. Thank you for stepping up and being a model of the Heavenly Father here on earth. Let me pray for you this morning. Creator God, we give our thanks for the fathers in our lives. Fatherhood does not come with a manual, and reality teaches us that some fathers excel while others fail. We ask for your blessings for them all and forgiveness where it is needed. This Father's Day, we remember the many sacrifices fathers make for their children and families, and the ways, both big and small, they lift children to achieve dreams thought beyond reach. So too, we remember all those who have helped fill the void when fathers pass early or are absent. Grandfathers and uncles, brothers and cousins, teachers, pastors and coaches, and the women of our families. For those who are fathers, we ask for wisdom and humility in the face of the task of parenting. Give them the strength to do well by their children and by you. Thank you for each man here today who has embraced their role and the challenge to be the man you have created them to be. In your holy name, O God, we pray. Amen. This morning, we have a special gift we would like to give all of our men this morning, a simple way of saying thank you. And if you would remain standing as Liz and Angie passes these gifts out, and once you've received your gift, then you can be seated. And then following that, John Russell will come for our offertory prayer. Okay?
Once y'all receive one of the gifts that are inside that pack, you have to unscrew the keychain and light, and there is a, if I can get it out, a little piece of white paper you have to take off the back of it for the battery to work. So if you just click it now, it's not going to work. You've got to take that little white piece of paper off.
Let me just echo what Pastor David said and what was sung today. Thank you for all the men in here that influenced me too, that you just keep pushing and pulling, and I appreciate that. Let's have a word of prayer for the offertory. Lord, as you always do, you bring us here in hopes that we're hearing and listening and fulfilling what you have for us. For us to get our monetary gifts and our spirit of ourselves and whatever we have, Lord, you know how to take it and use it. We're asking you today, fill each man in here and all of us in here today on this Father's Day to be able to give, give up ourselves. We ask it in your name. Amen.
wilt not turn me away. I'll sing praises to thee in the morning, for the Lord is the strength of my day.
Praise team for our special music today. One other mention about the Father's Day gifts. We do have some extra that are over here on the front pew. There are also a basket in the foyer as you leave. If you have ones that you want to pick up and take to a family member today, if you're going to see your father or a brother or whoever it might be, if you want to take one of the extra ones and take it to a family member today, we encourage you to do so as well. Let's pray before we encounter God's word this morning. Oh God, Heavenly Father that you are, you know what is right for us, but too often we only want our way or no way instead of your way. Have mercy upon us when we turn from you. Forgive us when we do not realize your fatherly love and direction for us. Have mercy upon us indeed and teach us anew how to follow you, our Heavenly Father that you are. We pray this through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship on this Father's Day Sunday morning. This is a special day as we spend time with family and friends, celebrating the men in our lives who have helped shape us into who we are today. And I hope over this day already you've been able to rummage through your minds about all the men who've had an impact in your lives. And I hope you'll have time to spend time with those individuals today, maybe not in person, but maybe even in the memories today, because those can be almost as meaningful as being with them in person. And remember that they continue to shape our lives in person or in memory. This morning we will once again find ourselves in the Old Testament book of Joshua, as we did last week for the sermon today. But before we read our focal passage this morning, a story. He reined in his horses and stood in his chariot, gazing at an ancient bridge over a small river. It was a Saturday near Rimini in northern Italy. The river was little more than a muddy creek and Rimini only an obscure village. But the history of the whole Western world hung in balance that January day. The year was 49 BC. The river was the Rubicon. The man was Julius Caesar. With his 13th legion, Caesar had conquered all of Gaul, which we now know as modern-day France. Jealous of his success and fearful of his popularity, his arch rival Pompey and the Roman Senate ordered him to disband the legion and come home. Now, with his troops, he stood on the banks of the Rubicon. Roman law strictly forbade any commander to lead a standing army across that stream. If Caesar crossed the Rubicon, it was an act of treason. Both he and his men became outlaws and would be hunted down and executed. Caesar paused only for a moment and then made his decision. Crying, "The die is cast," he laid his whip to the team, plunged his chariot across the bridge, and led his men on to Rome. They seized control of the government, and the rest is, as we say, was history. Since that historic day, to cross the Rubicon means to make a huge decision that affects your entire life. A decision from which there is no retreat. It is to pass a point of no return. There is no going back. Centuries before, Joshua crossed a Rubicon of his own on the map of his life. In his final speech at Shechem, Joshua made a proclamation that he wanted all the tribes of Israel to hear. A proclamation that we as fathers need to hear today. A proclamation that all believers should listen to and follow. And in this proclamation, we will see Joshua declare three important decisions for life and service to God. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. This morning, we'll be reading the closing chapter in this Old Testament book of Joshua. Joshua, seen as this Israelite leader, gives a passionate speech at Shechem where he recounts God's mercies to Israel. And at the very end of this speech, Joshua makes a passionate appeal to the nation to choose once and for all who that they would serve. Reading verses 1 through 24 this morning, the words will be on the screen behind me as well. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. when Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel. He sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you, but I would not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you and the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow, so I gave you a land on which you did not toil and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the God your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems unbearable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the God your forefathers served before the river, beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose lands you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he drew up for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Then Joshua sent the people away, each to his own inheritance. This Rubicon moment that Joshua makes in our passage today is one that every husband and father ought to cross, one that every believer should cross, and it starts with this very first decision. Just like Joshua, each person needs to make a personal decision. As for me, I will serve the Lord. This personal decision comes without waiting for hands to see which way the crowd would go. Joshua declared his personal commitment to God. Again, this first decision is a personal decision. I will serve the Lord. Joshua knew he could not speak for the whole nation, for his whole tribe, or even for his whole clan. Each person had to stand on their own before the Lord. But Joshua could speak for himself. And he did. He stated his decision and said that if they chose differently, it would not change his decision. If the rest of the nation turned back to their heathen gods that their fathers worshipped in Mesopotamia beyond the Euphrates River, or if they embraced the gods of the nations around them, it did not matter to Joshua. He would serve the Lord. This was the first decision. To make Joshua's decision, a person must know about the Lord. A little girl came to her mother one day with a question. What is God like? Her mother hesitated and then said, you better ask your dad that question. So she did. So she went to her dad and said, what is God like? He hemmed and hawed and finally got away without answering the question. Later, the parents found a sheet of paper on which the daughter had written this statement. I asked my mother what God is like. She did not know. I asked my father what God is like. Who knows? He knows more than anyone else in the entire world what God is like, and he did not know. If I had lived as long as my mother or my father, I think I would know something about God at this point. If your child or your grandchild or any child asked you, what is God like? How would you answer? How would you answer today? It's more than a simple little story. It's a question that we all have to answer. Because you never know when that child walks up to you and asks that question. We have to be ready to answer. To make Joshua's decision, a man must trust the Lord. He must transfer all his trust from other gods and things to Yahweh. To make Joshua's decision, a man or woman must serve the Lord. Joshua did not decide just to know the Lord or just to trust him, but to serve him. He did not ask for reserve duty in God's service, but put himself on active duty. Joshua was not one of those men who settle for a distant relationship with God. He was not content to be a distant relative of God. Joshua committed himself to personal service to his heavenly Father. Many fathers today commit themselves to believe about the Lord. Of those fathers, some fathers commit themselves to trust the Lord, but unfortunately there are many, too many fathers, not enough fathers, who commit themselves to serve the Lord. There is a difference. We need more fathers to step up and serve the Lord. This is the decision to keep deciding to serve him, following up that initial decision with 100 small decisions in the right direction every single day to serve the Lord. And the question is, how about you? How about you? Are you willing to serve the Lord? But that's just the first decision. The second is this. Just like Joshua, fathers need to make a paternal decision. As for my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua recognized his role as spiritual leader of his family, and he accepted that responsibility. He did not hesitate for a moment to decide that as far as he could, he would see that his whole family served the Lord with him. He could not make his family members serve God by decree, but he could use his influence to lead them in that direction. Joshua was stating that he would be a godly father. Now, this is not a head of the household argument that is being made here. To be quite honest with you right now, there are oftentimes, and too oftentimes, the mothers are the women of the family are being the individuals who carry the weight of being spiritual leaders in the modern family. And I'm just being honest here. Too often today, the women are carrying the spiritual leadership of the family. And if you don't agree with me, look at the numbers. Look at the percentage of church attendance in this world. The numbers don't lie. Men, we need to step up. We need to say thank you to the women who've been carrying the weight for far too long. And we need to partner together and step up and do our part. We need to do our part. Parents need to work together as a team to be spiritual role models for the children that are raised in the homes and outside their homes. It's not just your children, it's all children. It is wrong-headed for parents to claim this: well, I'll not force religion on my child. I will let him or her choose whether to go to church, because if I make them go, they will turn him or her against God when they get older. What parent lets his child choose whether to brush their teeth? What parent lets their child choose to bathe or not? What parent lets their child choose whether to do their homework or not? No parent keeps his child away from the doctor because he or she fears that the trip that goes to the doctor, where they have to get a shot for something that they're required to get, will make that child turn against the doctor. The parent does it because it is in the best interest of the child. So it is with the church. So it is with God. A parent teaches his children how to walk, talk, eat, drive, and work. Why should he or she fear to teach them how to serve the Lord? Author Carl Henry writes, "One child lost to the faith usually becomes a family lost to the faith. And not many generations later, a whole community of unbelievers is set in motion because of some earlier neglect of parental duties. If fathers, all parents and adult role models, are not willing to step up and lead their children to serve the Lord, something or someone else will. No matter how successful a man becomes in business, no matter how wealthy or famous he becomes, if he loses his family through neglect, he has failed the most important job that he has been given. Nothing would break my heart more than to come down to the end of my very last days and have my two sons, Samuel and Luke, not know that their father loved the Lord. And it's not just because I stand behind this piece of wooden furniture every single Sunday. If they don't know this, I fail. I get an F. I don't pass to the next grade. That's how important it is. I try my best, and I fail far too often, but I hope they know that I love them with the same fatherly love that my heavenly Father loves me." We need more individuals. We need more men. We need more women who love that way in the world. Each night, my family gathers as a family for a short devotion, reading God's word and praying for the day we had and the day that is to come. Late at night, because you know I'm not a morning person, late at night, I pray for the big things going on in their lives and they don't even know it. Exams, relationships, tennis tournaments, sicknesses, and more. That is the Rubicon I cross every single night. We need more people who do that. The world needs more people who do that. And the question is, where did I learn this? My mother and my father and my grandfather. It is the Rubicon every husband and father ought to cross today. Not every man here is grown. Not every man here is married. Not every married man is a father, but every man needs to make that decision for the future. How about you? How about you? That brings us to the last important decision. Just like Joshua, fathers and all believers need to make a public decision. It says in Joshua 24:2, Joshua said to all the people, "It is better to make decisions privately than not at all, but it is best to make them publicly. openly and clearly, before friend and foe, before believer and unbeliever, before the whole congregation or all of Israel. Joshua spoke out for the Lord. During the Civil War, on Sherman's march to the sea, he came to the city of Atlanta. And there was a little grandmother there who met him and his troop with only a broom in her hand sticking out at Sherman. And someone asked her later on, "What did you think you were going to do with a broom against the Union's army's rifles and cannons?" And she said, "Nothing. I just wanted to make it clear whose side I was on." Make clear whose side you are on. Run up your colors. Take a stand. Let your decision be known publicly. Making a decision publicly seals it. If a person makes a commitment privately, they can back out on it easily because no one else knows. There is no one to hold them accountable. But if they decide publicly, others know and expect them to carry out that commitment. Making a decision publicly also encourages others to make the same decision. And I ask that question again. What about you? How about you? And I end with that question today, on this Father's Day. How about you? I stand here because of generations of men and women in my family who stood up and said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I stand here today proclaiming the same for me and my family. How about you? You stand at your Rubicon. Will you cross it? Some might prefer to say, "Well, I'll think about it. I'll think about it." The Englishman John Ruskin once said, "One of the worst diseases to which the human mind is liable is the disease of thinking." Now, you might think that's just wrong. Ruskin was not talking of putting down education. Instead, he meant that thinking and thinking and thinking about something, but never making a decision and acting, can become a disease. And it can become spiritually fatal if we just say, "Oh, I'll think about it. I'll think about it." Standing at your Rubicon, the decision is urgent. Choose you this day who you will serve. There is no doubt what the decision should be. Every man here should take his stand with Joshua. Every person here, every believer here, should take that stand. Come saying publicly, "It matters not what others do, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Your Heavenly Father is waiting. You're standing on the shore of that Rubicon. How about you? Let us pray. Father, on this day of family, on this day of celebration and remembering, as we come recognizing who you are in our lives, the Heavenly Father, the one who created us and molded us through the individuals you've placed in our lives, we say thank you. But we recognize that we have to stand up for you this day, just as Joshua did so many years ago. It's a daily decision, but it's a decision we're all called to make. May we make it publicly today. Amen. As we stand and sing our closing hymn, the question is, how about you? How about you? Let's stand and sing this morning.
My heart.
world that needs individuals to stand up and be public about your faith. Stand up just as Joshua did and be that presence in the world today. Go in peace and spend some time with your family today.